There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Romans. How thoroughly you have taught us, and you are teaching us, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how you have taught us the work of redemption of Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, triune God, when we contemplate and think what you have undertaken on our behalf, we are simply amazed by it all. We humbly bow before you and worship you. We pray that this portion of Scripture that is before us, we ask that you would write it on our hearts. Perhaps there are some here this morning who do not know the freedom that comes in Christ. The very fact that we can say there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and work in the heart of the hearers. Illumine and open the hearts and reveal yourself in a mighty way and show the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant faith and grant repentance. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Romans chapter 8, and we began that way the last two times that we were here, starts off with there is no condemnation. And I mean this glorious chapter, it finishes with the fact that there is no separation, that nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We had considered in the past weeks that there is therefore now no condemnation. What is the therefore, therefore? Is the therefore, therefore because of chapter 7, the concluding remarks of the Apostle Paul that teaches us that godly living and righteous living is not accomplished by law keeping. We cannot do it. Absolutely not. The conclusion we come to is, as Paul writes, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so when you think about the fact that he has pointed to the fact of the Christian struggle in chapter 7, is that therefore, therefore, because of that? No, I believe that therefore is therefore goes all the way back to chapter 1, really the exposition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus that he begins in chapter 1, verses 17 and following and on. At the same time, I believe that in all of it that he is coming to a place and he's making, he's calculating, making additions, that when it's all done, I believe chapter 8, verses 1 and following, chapter 8, 1 in particularly, is where there he is, he's driving the nail, he's driving home the point, he's making sure that we understand what it means to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation. You know, the word condemnation means it's the act of condemning or pronouncing to be wrong, censor, blame, or disappropriation, the act of judicially condemning. Think about it. No condemnation, when I think about it, in particular, there is no state of being condemned. What does that mean when you, the Christian, there is therefore now no condemnation? That means, beloved, and as I'm standing here before you, and I'm standing before, and I'm sure there are some in this room who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're not joined to him, that would mean to you there is condemnation. There will be one of these days, we will stand before the judge, the all-seeing eyes of God. There is going to be a judgment that's going to happen. Chapters 2, you remember in our journey through the book of Romans, we read, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against such things. And then he mentions in verse 3 of chapters 2, or do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Then again in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In chapter 2, verse 9, he says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For those who are outside and who are not joined to the Lord Jesus by faith, judgment is going to be real. Condemnation is going to be a reality. In chapter 2, verse 16, he says, for in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. What is he saying to us? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can we say that? Do we believe that? No condemnation means to the believer, means no punishment, no wrath, no accusation, no judicial proceedings, no law proceedings, no trial, no hearings, no charges, not even a hint. There is therefore now no condemnation. I want to say to you, there is a verse of scripture that is worthy of being put to memory. And that we would memorize that and would know that. And it means to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was looking at this portion of scripture, I'm thinking, you know, what does that mean to be in Christ? It means the person, the work of the Lord Jesus as he's lived his life, as he gave his life and he satisfied all of the demands of the holy law. And there on Calvary's cross, there he was crucified. As Romans chapter 4, 25 tells us, he was delivered up for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. You think about it. You remember the argument that we find in Romans chapter 6 and following, where the Apostle Paul is saying, do we continue in sin that grace would abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? And then he gives the example and illustration of the Lord Jesus, who's lived and died. And as he's lived and died, we are joined to him and also raised in newness of life. Union with Christ is not just some foreign thing which is not connected to us, but when I think about it, it is possible to them that are joined and united to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Question. I was thinking, last week I was talking to a couple of teenagers and I talked to them about school. And I said, tell me, do you like school? And one said, I don't like school at all, and I don't care for it. And I said, well, which is your worst, and what is it you don't like at all? But one of the things that came out is that one subject that teenager didn't like was math. And so I said, hey, listen, why don't you start liking it? You try to work and do your best, and when you like it and do your best, then you're going to gain something from it. Instead of going to school with a wall up and you're not going to hear nothing, you're kind of like this and say, well, I'm just going to bite my time, and maybe when it's all said and done, but you're not going to learn nothing. It was a half a day later, there was another teenager about the same. The first one was a boy, and then the second one was a girl. And I said, tell me about school. And she said to me, I don't like school. And I said, how come? And she said, I just don't like it. And I said, what part of school you don't like? She said, I don't like math. So I'm thinking, well, and I gave her the same advice as I gave the first one. But I want you to know something. I believe that Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is the result of spiritual calculation and math, that we come to the conclusion of what the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. Do you understand? I think we can call it, therefore, there is therefore now. In other words, he has given us all of the particular things from starting in chapters 1 on all the way down through, and he's given us the lessons of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how he concluded chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, talking about mankind. That mankind has absolutely no hope in himself. That mankind has absolutely no righteousness. When you take what man is by nature, we're not even going to be in the spiritual arithmetic to think somehow or another that when it's all said and done and I appear before God, I have calculated it right. You remember that, and we talked about that a little bit last week, that when you look at all of the religious systems around the globe, somewhere down the line, people think that they're able to somewhere calculate and do the things that they believe that they need to do in order to be right before God. The problem with that is, for all have sinned, and have fallen short of the glory of God, period. God is holy and righteous, and the only thing that God accepts is holiness and righteousness and perfection. And you and I, we do not have it. We do not possess a continual perfection from the beginning to the end. The problem is, we're all born in the wrong family. You see, somewhere down the line, we have discounted the fact that we're not coming into the world as sinners. Babies are sinners. I don't know where this stuff originated when it comes to age of accountability, all kinds of things. I know there is an accountability, but I want you to know we are born into the family. We are connected to our forefather, our great-great, the sin is passed on to us. And by the time it's all said and done, we have absolutely no currency which has any buying power in the eyes of God, none of us. But here's the spiritual math. And that when we come to the conclusion and we put a line under it and we ask the question, equals plus, what is the answer to our spiritual arithmetic, what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that we come up with? Where do we start? Well, our text that we read a little while ago is really his summation of what he has said in chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. For what the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Where do we start? Where do we start with our salvation, with our spiritual arithmetic that we calculated up together and that we can say, there is therefore now no condemnation? Where do we start? We start in the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God that is in Him. Amen. That's going to have to be first on your list. Where do we start? Do we start with Buddha? Who do we start with when we think about it? Where do we start? But now the righteousness of God is revealed, is what Romans chapter 3:20 and on says. When you think about for what the law could not do, God sent His own Son. And who is God's own Son? It is the Christ. It is Jesus Christ, God's own Son. That's where we start. Do you remember when John writes in 1 John chapter 2, and he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father. That's you know what an advocate is? An advocate is an attorney, one that is in between. We have an advocate, one who speaks on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father. And who is the advocate with the Father? It is Jesus Christ. It is God's own Son. And He is the one who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sin of the whole world. Where do we start? We start with that. We're not the right man on our side. When it comes to our salvation and our being sure to say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now listen to me. When you read Romans chapter 7, and you talked about the 36 I's and that struggle that seems to be there with us. And he's saying that you're not going to accomplish it in yourself. And then when you have remaining flesh and you have the world and you have Satan accusing you, and then you're coming to the place and you're saying, you're right, my flesh, oh wretched man that I am. But I want you to know, I'm not trusting in my flesh. I'm trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's very God Himself. He is righteous. He has the righteousness of God. Okay, I need to move on. Got a long list here. And now this calculation and this spiritual arithmetic, I want you to know, is very, very important. I wasn't very good at math either when I went to school. And I really didn't like it either. Even though, if I remember correctly, I used to go home and practice math on my own, but it wasn't one of my high points. Okay, where do we start? We start with Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. There is therefore now no condemnation. And what is it that the Lord Jesus, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh? What did the Lord Jesus do? What did He do as man, as true man? What is it that He accomplished? Let me tell you what we've done by nature. For me, my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. I'm going to, by nature, we have taken and trampled under our feet, and willingly, ignorantly, in every which way, we have broken God's laws from A to Z, period. We are sinners by nature, period. God sending His own Son. And what is it that the Lord Jesus did from the moment that He came into the world until He raised up, you see, into the heavens? What did the Lord Jesus do? And I want you to know, I know I've used that many, many times, and I hope I use it many, many more times. The Lord Jesus in our place, He was our substitute. He lived for you and for me. Everything that you and I have trampled underfoot, all of the laws and the commandments and the precepts, all that we have broken by nature, the Lord Jesus, He kept it all. He said, I come, I delight to do thy will, O God. All of it was completely satisfied to every T. There was not one that would say, look at him. There was one jot or one tittle that he... No, absolutely not. Even when the Lord Jesus was arrested, you remember how they were looking for some charges and accusations. And you remember what they'd done. They went ahead and exchanged him for a criminal. And so when I think about the Lord Jesus, he is the one who has come in our likeness. And what is it that he's done? And then as we read in Romans chapters 3, 4, and 5, we read that he is the one who is the propitiation and the wrath bearer for our sins. It is by his blood, it is living his life, and then on Calvary's cross, there he gave himself for you and for I in order for us to have life, and that the charges that were against us, all the Lord Jesus Christ had completely satisfied. And so when I think about it, the equation is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, whom God had set forth, his life, his blood, the propitiation, his death, the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute and the satisfaction, the Lord Jesus Christ that has justified us, and we're united with the Lord Jesus Christ, that in all of it that the Lord might be just and the justifier of him that believeth. You say, why is all of that important? Yes, it is. And what is it that the Lord wants from us? What is it that the Lord wants from us? Y'all's lesson in Sunday school has dealt with what? Abraham, right? And what was the lesson of Abraham? The lesson of Abraham was, God called. The Lord tells Abraham, I'm going to make you and I'm going to bless you and your seed, and many nations shall be blessed. And what did Abraham do? Abraham believed, and what happened? It counted him for righteousness. And then when you think about it, how it's a mind-boggling, mind-blowing thing, isn't it? When you think about, when you add it all together, what we see here in the book of Romans, and that we recognize and realize what all he has done on our behalf. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What does that mean? What is all of that? When we add all of that up, what is all of that? Underline it. Put a plus in front of it. What's the answer? What's the answer when we put all of that together? It means, I wrote on my notes, I wanted to get it bigger, but I don't even know whether y'all can see it or not. But what does that do? Can y'all read that? It says, equals, what is the answer? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what does that mean? It means that we are free. The penalty has been paid. Justice has been taken care of. There is no accusations. There is no charges. There is no summons. There is none of that. Last week I read a portion of the Gospel of Matthew, And in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, we read these verses. Let me read it again. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit up on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Think about that for a second. We're all going to appear before him. And then how is he going to divide them? He says, He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then we go on to the end of the chapter, and we read, And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into life eternal. I want you to know the Christian that has a view and a heart and understanding by the grace of God what he is joined to the Lord Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is no fear at all on our part that we have to fear justice and judgment and condemnation, because all of that has been taken place on our behalf in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you what that ought to do. That ought to give us a quietness of heart and a peace. It was Wesley that said in his great hymn, And Can It Be? One of my favorite stanzas, I guess in our hymnal, is No Condemnation, Now I Dread. Think about that for a second. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Can you say that? Can you say, No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine? Can you say that? On what basis? Well, because of the spiritual arithmetic, because it is Christ, it is Jesus Christ who has accomplished it all. Let me read to you these four verses in Philip's translation. The truth is that no condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. The law never succeeded in producing righteousness. The failure was always the weakness of human nature. But God has met this by sending his own Son to live in sinful human nature like ours. And while Christ was dealing with sin, God condemned that sinful nature. Think about it. Therefore, we are able to meet the law's requirement, for we're living no longer by the dictates of our sinful nature, but by the obedience to the prompting of the Spirit. What a contrast. Would you agree with me? What a contrast when you look at Romans 7, verses 7 to the end of the chapter, and that where we are in Romans chapters 8 and following, and particularly when we come to chapters 8, verses 1 through 17 of the life of the Spirit of God that leads us. I want to say to you here is this, that can we tell that there is therefore now no condemnation? He gives us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where is our hearts? What is it that tugs on our hearts? Is there remaining flesh? And the answer is yes. Is there another law and principle in us? And the answer to that is yes. But do we see that we desire to follow and to pull the influence, the impact, the far-reaching consequences of the grace of God in our lives? Do we have that? Look, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How is that possible? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak in the flesh. And then verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Think about it. What a change, isn't it? What a change. That on one hand, humanity, how humanity is trying to accomplish and having peace with God on their own, I want to call weak and beggarly efforts in trying to somehow or another to build a staircase to heaven to have peace with God. There was a former pastor that used to use an illustration that said, try to build a staircase to heaven with some butter out there on a hot, sunshiny day. How far do you think you're going to get? How far are you going to get? You're not going to get very far. But oh, the grace of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that came in your likeness and mine to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then he gives us an explanation of the flesh. For they that mind after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so I want to say to you that it's very plain and clear. Those that are saved, what do they have in us? What do we have in us? It's Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in us. And what does he do? Well, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He convicts us. He comforts us. Sometimes he chastens us. He is there and he illuminates us. He teaches us God's word. And how often do we find ourselves at crossroads and we ask ourselves the question, now which way do I go? And then we come to the place and say, well, that's not what God would have me do. You remember years ago, it came out with the little bracelets that would remind people. What would Jesus do? And so that was a reminder that, wait a minute, we don't need that. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And so the glory of this portion of Scripture, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about that? If you do, that you would need to have the Lord write on your heart. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What about those of you that are here this morning who do not know the Lord Jesus? I want to tell you something. There is life. There is spiritual life. There is forgiveness of sin. There is a new heart. There is a new direction. There is a new path. You say, how is that mine? How is that going to be mine? How do we do that? Work for it. Go to church. Give you money. Do this. Do that. How do we do it? Where do we begin? It is by faith, embracing the mercies that are found in the Lord Jesus, and that we can say, O Lord, lay hold of my heart. I'm a sinner. Sin dictates to me and I follow it. But oh, how wonderful these truths are. Lord, lay hold of me. And I thank you for having come in my stead and living in my stead in order that I might know life and eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone comes to you and says, are you a Christian? You say, yes. Are you right with God? You say, yes. How are you going to appear before the all-seeing eye of God? Aren't you afraid of justice and judgment? And then what's the answer? How do we answer? Well, we go back to our spiritual arithmetic. Where do we start? We start with the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, and then we work our way all the way down through there. And then we're going to underline it, and then we're going to add it all up. And then we're going to come up with this answer. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you something. And then we can sing, free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. What do you think? And then to think that joy and the peace and the quietness. And then when we get to the age, when we get close to where the Lord calls us to himself, that we can rest. And that, as the songwriter says, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. Why? Because he's accomplished it and finished it all. And so I want to say to you, flee to the Lord Jesus by faith and be joined to him in his grace. Let's pray.